portion of scripture that I have chosen to read from is out of John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. But let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, O Lord, for each one that has come out. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be stayed on you, and Lord, that your will is done in our lives. And Lord, I pray too that you would be with us now, help our hearts and minds to be stayed on you, and help us, Lord, to see what you have to say to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And then also, if you would like to either turn to, or most of us know it, and that's John 14:6. And that tells us, Jesus said unto them, or unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of scripture, this is the one that is normally given for Reformation Sunday. And being this is Reformation Sunday, we want to give a little bit of honor and credence to the reformers. One of them being Martin Luther, who the Lutheran Church took off after. He did not want anybody to uphold him or make him look like he was better than anybody else. He had problems with the church, and he wanted the church to correct those problems and to repent of their sin and to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had studied in the book of Romans an awful lot, and he found it's by faith through grace, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that you're saved, and not indulgences and not in anything else that has been going on or that the church had been doing would save you. And he wrote a letter to the Pope, and he stressed his feelings and why he felt that way. They had a couple of meetings with him, and he would not recant. They told him, "If you will recant, we will put you back into position where you are, and we will give you the indulgences you need so that when you die, you will not have to spend time in purgatory." And he said, "It is not purgatory. It is not the indulgences. Those are wrong, they're man-made, and they are sinful because they lead a person into death rather than into life." And he said, "If you cannot show me in Scripture where these things are right, I will not recant. And I will only stand on the Scripture alone. And I will only stand that Christ came into the world, and it's through faith in him that it's Christ alone, the Word alone, grace alone, or faith alone. You see, the Word of God and Christ alone is one. We see in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we see this where Jesus is telling the believers of his day. He says, if you believe on me, and if you abide in my word, you will become sons. Therefore, in becoming sons, you will inherit eternal life. And in that life, you will have no sorrow and no death and no pain, because in eternity, all these things are passed away and all of the remembrances of evil are gone. Martin Luther could not stand to see the church going the wrong way, and he stood up for his beliefs. He had many times they tried to do him in, and up until a few years ago, they said if you went into the castle in Wittenberg, you could see where he had thrown the inkwell at Satan, when on the wall was the mark of the ink, where the inkwell had hit the wall, because Satan was in the room and trying to get Martin Luther to come back into the ways of the world, or the ways of the church, which Martin Luther said had left the way of God, and they had turned their backs on the way that God wants them to be saved, by making man-made laws and by making things so much that you had to buy all these indulgences, and it was by good works in which the church taught that you were saved. And Martin Luther said, it is not by our good works, it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone, the word alone, in what Christ alone has did on Calvary's cross that saves us. And so as we see here, and in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes unto God the Father except through me. And this is what Jesus is telling these disciples that believed on him here. He said, if you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you abide in my word, in the word that I have spoken unto you, you will be the sons of inheritance, and you will have eternal life in forever in Christ Jesus as Lord. Before Christ came onto the scene, before he was born of Mary and back in Bethlehem, they had a sanctuary when they came out of Egypt. And God says, you will do sacrifices for your sin. The Levites was the tribe that had no land or no inheritance of the 12 tribes of Judah. The Levites were supposed to be the priests of God, and they were supposed to teach the true word of God. And they were down through the leader, which was Aaron, which was of the tribe of Levi. And in their sanctuary, they had a place in which they could come, the priests would come, and sacrifice for the sins of the people on their daily and weekly sacrifices. And then there was a curtain between them and the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice before God for the people. And when Christ was crucified, if you remember, there was a great earthquake, and that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. And it was split in two so that we could come boldly before the throne of grace into the Holy of Holies. And Christ then becomes our high priest, because he gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And in Hebrews 9:8, it tells us the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made or manifested while the first tabernacle was still standing. But then that through the death of the cross, we find that in Hebrews 10, it tells us, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of the blood, by the blood of Christ, by the new and living word, he consecrated for us through the veil, which is his flesh. You see, in Martin Luther's day, as well as in today, we see Satan is doing everything he can to pull that veil down over our eyes and over our hearing and over our mind and over our heart, in which we would not hear the Word of God, in which we would not hear the Spirit of God saying, follow me, and we would then want to do things our own way. And we see that Jesus, being obedient unto death, he died on the death of the cross, and he tells us in John 8:46, he says, which of you convicts me? He asks the Pharisee leaders. Which of you convicts me of sin? And none of them could do it. Then he says, if I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? And we see that even today, don't we? That so many people back then did not believe him because they said it was such a radical change from what they were doing. And for many of us, it's a radical change of how we may have been living and how we have been living for ourselves and not for God and not for Christ. And so we see then that it's a radical change even for us when we see someone come to Christ in faith, believing that Christ died on Calvary's cross and accepting that in their heart and in their lives. And they're saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the way I've been. Forgive me that I may serve you truly and not be in bondage to sin. And these people, they claimed that they had never been in bondage to anyone. And yet we are in bondage to sin if we don't have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And then we have the right to choose. Do you serve to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior, or do you choose to serve yourself and to see what you can get only in this world? You see, they rejected him then, and we see people still rejecting Christ for some of the same reasons. And then as Paul puts it in Romans 5:19, Luther looked at the Romans an awful lot, and he lived by the words of Romans in many cases. For as by one man's disobedience, many was made sinners. And that's the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. You know, when God came to him in the cool of the day and he calls Adam. Now, God knew he had already sinned. And Adam says, he finally answers and he says, where are you? And he says, I hid from you. Why did you hide? I was fearful. Why were you fearful? When you have no sin and you're living under Christ's flag, you shouldn't have to fear. And he says, we ate of that forbidden fruit that you told us not to eat from. And as the story goes, then God approached him and told him how he would send a Savior into the world in Genesis 3:15. And it was the first promise of a Savior coming into the world. And then we see also in the same portion of Scripture, so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And that righteousness has come because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and in faith alone, showing what Christ has done to give us that faith and to help our faith to grow in what he believed, or what he did for us, and we believe this, even though physically we don't see it, because faith is something that is not seen, but we know is true and is coming in eternity. And so by Christ's righteousness, we are made righteous because we have our faith and our love in him. And all the good things that he can give us will come as we enter eternity with him. And in Hebrews 9:12, we're told this, that it's not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us, because he was willing to die. And he says, you know, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto myself. And as I draw these people unto myself, I will be able to bless them. And they can become the children of God if they believe. But if they refuse to believe, they will be cast aside as the bad fish in the parable of the fish, or as the branches that does not produce fruit. They will be cast aside. But in believing, and as we are drawn to Christ through the Holy Spirit, we can see that we ourselves are nothing, but it's all through what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary that we have this life in our heart and in our lives, and that veil will not be pulled down over our sight or over our heart's belief and not over our mind, so that we can believe in Jesus Christ. And as we read and study his word, the Spirit will show us the truth and lead us in the way in which we should go. It is a gift of salvation through what Christ did on Calvary's cross, you know. And as we look at that and we say, we sometimes wonder how that could be. But it's a spiritual redemption for our souls. It's a spiritual redemption for lifting us out of the world of sin. And the day is coming when Satan himself will be cast out of heaven completely, and he will not be able to accuse us as he is doing today before God and saying we're not worthy of salvation because we're sinful human beings. But God looks at us through the gift of what Christ has done in our faith and our belief in him. And then as he tells us, as he draws all people unto himself, we will see that our offenses to Christ are forgiven because we trust in God and God alone. And then in Romans 5:18, it tells us, therefore, through one man's offense, judgment came unto all men, resulting in the condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all, resulting in the justification of our lives. And it's that obedience that Jesus gives that we have the justification of life, because we believe and we do the work of God, and that's to believe on the one that God has sent into the world to die for our sins. And being but justified by faith, then, we know and we can believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And as we're cleansed, the Spirit of truth will not only be in us, but it will help us to see what is told us through Scripture, and that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we know that God has desires that all people come to him. And we know that God desires this, and he wants us all to not only have the knowledge of life eternal, but to have the knowledge of what Christ did for us. And we say many times, I've had people say, if God desires that, why doesn't he just do it? And it's because God gave us a will in which we can choose to either follow him or reject him. And throughout Scripture, he tells us that if we follow him, he shows us the blessings of heaven. And if we don't follow him, he shows us the penalty of rejecting him and rejecting his word and rejecting what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. We see then too that as we look at this, that he not only desires us to come to the knowledge of truth, But for the one God and one man, he's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And he gave himself a ransom for all of us, for all of our sin. And that through this, we can be justified in believing on what Christ has done for us, and we can have eternal life with God the Father forever in heaven. You see, Luther stood on Scripture, or on the Word alone. And he stood on that Word very strongly, and he says, I will not recant. I will not change my way. If you cannot show me in Scripture where I am wrong, I will continue to believe by faith alone and the Word alone that I have to stand on Scripture. And so he tells us that in 1 John 1:9, and we've studied this in Bible study a little bit, and that he says this, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, there it is, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then we could go into 1 John 1:9, which tells us if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. Our confession is made in the belief that he would do it and he would give us eternal life. The Word alone, Scripture alone. And then we've seen Martin Luther would say, grace alone. It's God's mercy. It's his grace from which we are saved. And in that, we look to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, and it tells us this. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Isn't that something? That the word of God, his mercy, has showed us that God will forgive us our sins and that we can live for him and we can come to him daily and ask for forgiveness of our sins, and he will do this when we do it in sincerity and in truth. And then Martin Luther also stood on faith alone. And he says this about faith, it's a gift of God, and that it is God's grace that we have this gift of God of faith. This faith and this mercy comes through the word of what Jesus Christ has done. You know, the Bible is 100% true on telling us of what Christ has done for us. And yet we see so many people in the world today that will want to try and add or to try and change it to justify themselves. And they will say, you know, I have done nothing wrong. And we could ask them, what have you done right? And they would not be able to answer you except in the materialistic, personal way of which this life lives. But Martin Luther, as he stood on faith alone, and saying that the faith of God is God's grace to us. In Romans 5:1, he tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are justified by his faith, by his grace. And it's through this grace and through this faith that we have in what Christ did on the cross for us, that we can have the peace and love that God gives us. And he takes and tells us that I will give you my peace, which the world cannot give. But as I give it to you, it's beyond all measure. And regardless of how the world may look at you or may torment you or may do things against you, you can have that eternal peace within your heart, knowing you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He does not promise us a life of roses or easygoing. He tells us that, you know, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But remember and retain the faith and the love that I have for you, and you will have eternal life in my name. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us. Help us, O Lord, to live for you each day. And help us, O God, that as we go forward from this place, that people will see you in us and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 449.